Today's podcast is sponsored by Avant. Let's talk money. Sometimes people need a little extra, and some banks don't always make it fast or easy, but I'll tell you who does. Avant. Avant provides access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever stepping foot in a branch. Simply go to avantoffer.com and check out your competitive rate. Checking your rate is risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. Complete your application in minutes and the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. You could see how easy and convenient borrowing through avantoffer.com is. So Avant will give you a $50 amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time for this offer. And to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com, enter promo code RHAP, that's A-V-A-N-T offer.com, promo code RHAP, avantoffer.com, promo code RHAP. Loans are made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. I'm Rob Cesternino, and these are the News AF stories for the week of November 2nd, 2015. Welcome the News AF team, Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson. How are you guys doing?
I'm fantastic.
I also am fantastic.
Rob, want to know something?
What's that?
Danny was in a band.
Is that true, Danny?
Yeah.
His music's on iTunes.
Really? Hold on. I feel like I've been down this road before. Is this just a ploy to get me to buy your song on iTunes?
No, I have 999 CDs. I will mail you one. There's a $1,000 disc. I mean, at 1,000 CDs, I got a discount. So now I have 999 after I gave one to my mom.
What kind of music do you play?
Well, we wanted to be super cool with progressive rock, but I don't know.
We call it prog rock.
Yeah, I don't even know what progressive rock is. What is progressive rock?
Like Rush. Rush would be considered.
Oh.
You're comparing your band to Rush?
No, that's what I wanted.
I thought your band was wanting to be more like a Radiohead Tool mashup.
Yeah, any of those would have been better than what we were.
Tyson, were you ever in the band? Did you ever get asked to be in the band?
Well, Danny said if I practiced the bass a bunch and he taught me how to play, then I could, but I never did.
Yeah, always on a search for the bassist because nobody wants to play the bass. It's the least glorious of instruments.
Why? Yeah. Why is the bass a...
They just get the least amount of women.
Other than Flea, can you name a single bassist that's super awesome?
Mm.
The lead singer for Thin Lizzy.
Don't know him.
Yeah.
Or her.
All right,
I don't even know the name.
So while we are in the hunt for a cool bass player, we're talking about the actual factual news from this week, first week of November 2015, and we are live here on blab.im. Very excited to be live here on Monday morning for us on the in the Western United States, Monday afternoon for those of you guys on the East Coast or other parts of the world, who knows. But we are taking your questions here live. We're on blab.im. We're taking your questions. We can pin them live. If you want to watch the video stream of this, you can see that on our website at newsaf.news, which is a very incredible website.
It's one of the best.
Went to it, saw it. Awesome.
I think it's already won awards.
Yes.
It's winning awards and nominated for a bunch of other ones. So very excited. We're going to have our own News AF dedicated podcast feed. We're under review in the iTunes store. So things are really happening now.
Finally, at 36, things are happening.
Things are happening. All right. Tyson, everybody really liked your Halloween costume from the pictures that we saw.
Oh, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yes.
It was pretty good. So I went as Elsa, the princess, and Rachel Wind as Anna, also the princess from the movie Frozen, and Bergen was Olaf, the little snowman. And in my mind, when I came up with this idea, I thought, okay, I'm going to dress up as this princess. And when I see little girls dressed as me, we're both going to give each other thumbs up like, yeah, cool costume. What ended up happening was every single person that saw me was so uncomfortable and creeped out that they couldn't even hardly look at me.
Why were people creeped out? Because they were sexually attracted to Elsa and then they brought up uncomfortable feelings when they saw you?
I think so.
Or were they jealous of that sweet braid?
I think
that was the most amazing part of your costume.
Right? And most of that was my real hair.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So I don't know. We went to a family party first and I could tell my dad wasn't super into the costume.
It made your dad uncomfortable.
Yeah. And all my nephews were really uncomfortable. The nieces kind of warmed up to it, but the nephews were all super uncomfortable. So I kept calling them out every time they'd look at me. I'd be like, stop looking at me. Why are you looking at me? And that made them more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, and then we went trick-or-treating for a little bit, and everybody at every house wanted to take a picture of me. That's why I have like some professional looking pictures taken, because some guy with a big camera came out of his house and snapped a few.
Hmm.
So yeah. So it was pretty fun. It was a good costume, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
People, it was a woman's extra large.
People are asking, Guy Jen wants to know, did you think that Tyson was a pretty princess? Of course. I've been saying for years that Tyson would be a very handsome woman.
Yeah, I would be.
Yeah. The Dominic, my son, that we had been asking him, what are you going to be for Halloween? And he had been saying a princess himself. Ooh. Yes. Yeah.
And you squashed that or what?
I don't think he really knew a lot of costume ideas. I don't think he really knows that, you know, there aren't a lot of male princesses, but we said, okay, just sort of.
Did you let him be a princess then?
No, that was not the costume that my wife bought for him. He was not a princess.
What
was he? He was from, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Paw Patrol.
Yes, Nicole, Paw Patrol, yeah.
Yeah, Nicole bought him a costume from the Paw. He was Chase from Paw Patrol, which is a, if you are not watching Nick Jr., it's probably a very obscure costume. But I think if you are watching Nick Jr., really, really is right down the middle.
So you know that by squashing out Dominic's dream of being a princess now, he's just going to push back later in his teenage years.
Is that what he's going to do?
I think so.
I don't really know. I don't really know how it works. You know, I don't think he really knows that the variety of costumes. He knows princess is one of the costumes that is available.
that people dress up as.
Yes. He did see, we took him to a Halloween party and he just, oh, princess. And he does identify that there are princesses out there.
What was your costume, Rob?
Oh, I did not wear. I put on a Superman t-shirt. That was the extent of me costuming.
Guys. I know those guys. I saw a lot of those guys at parties.
So yeah. You dislike Halloween.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last week. It's just like, you know, when I was like, I'm not really out there in the candy game. I'm not going to like these parties, like trying to get drunk or hook up. I don't really understand the point as an adult to, you know, I feel like I'm there to sort of support the kid having fun. And other than that, you know, there's really, I don't really get it.
Do you think Dominic would have been excited if you would have been dressed as someone else from Paw Patrol?
Like, maybe.
Heightened his enjoyment?
I think it's still a little over his head. I think he was fine with the suit, with the Superman t-shirt. He was like, oh, superhero.
Okay. So he knows about princesses and superheroes.
Yes. Yes. Superhero. Save the day.
Me? I was Garth. Remember?
Oh, yeah. That was dope.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, my little kid was, one of them was Dracula, and he was probably the best costume I saw.
Yeah, but he was a nice Dracula.
Yeah, he was all in with blood coming out of his mouth, and he's only three, so that was the most entertaining part of Halloween.
Okay. All right, well, we are ready to talk about all of the top stories of the week, every week here on News AF, and why don't we start with our top story. At this hour, we're always covering the latest going on in the restaurant biz, and a tough week for fans of Chipotle, as there have been over 40 stores in the Pacific Northwest who have been shut down due to a potential E. coli outbreak.
Ooh, does this mean people are going to go to Subway more?
We don't know. Yeah, we actually don't have any bad news for Subway to talk about this week. So the 43 Chipotle restaurants have been shut down at this hour. How are you guys handling this news, Tyson?
I actually, for one, love eating at Chipotle.
Who doesn't?
Right?
It's delicious.
It is really good. And I wish that I lived in Washington or Oregon or the Pacific Northwest. I don't know what that all entails. Northern California, perhaps.
Because
mm-hmm. Then I could call in sick.
Yeah. Oh.
So right?
You like to be a built-in excuse.
Yeah, there's a built-in excuse there. Oh, I ate Chipotle the other day.
Yeah. Danny, what are some of the symptoms that somebody might have E. coli?
Well, my first question is, how do you get E. coli? I mean, how was it spread? I looked at the article and it doesn't really say. Sometimes it's lettuce. Sometimes it's maybe
they
it's
don't know. Corn. They don't know what it is.
So I just don't get how it got spread to so many. Obviously, it was tainted something, like someone was out picking lettuce and had diarrhea or something and spread it all over the lettuce and then they just turned it in. They
is
didn't
that
wash
what happened?
It.
Is that the origin
that's
story?
How it happens?
That's my current theory, right? You're out there okay. in those fields. There's no bathroom nearby. And
I guess so. Hmm. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it could be from the fertilizer too, especially if they use natural fertilizer.
Yeah, natural fertilizer. Don't a lot of organic products have problems with E. coli because they don't really clean it, maybe to the extent that they clean some of these other things. But the symptoms are vomiting and bloody diarrhea.
Oh boy. All right.
So if you are eating beets, a lot of times you wouldn't even recognize that second system or the symptom.
I feel like that comes up a lot on this show.
What, beets?
Yes.
Well, it's
Tyson
a scientific
has a love
fact.
Affair with beets. Yeah,
Tyson seems to eat a lot of beets.
I don't. For as much as I talk about him, I eat relatively few beets.
So how much do you have to love Chipotle today to like in what area, if you were to draw a circle on the map, are you, brave enough to go to Chipotle?
I think Idaho and west.
Yeah.
And anything south of San Francisco.
South of San Francisco. So if you're one of the people at Blab in San Francisco, are you going to Chipotle today?
No.
That's too risky.
And there's a lot of good food there. You can go to other places.
Boy. So at what point do you feel like Chipotle is safe to go back to?
Well, I feel like as a relatively healthy 36-year-old man, I could probably survive an E. coli invasion of my system. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably be fine. So I would probably not be too upset about eating there, but it all depends. Like, you know how illness attacks the old and frail and the young and weak.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right in the middle of both of those. We're fine, Rob.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a close situation that we're going to be monitoring with 43 Chipotles currently closed right now.
That is crazy. So they're just closed until the
cleaning them.
The
right?
cleaning them, yeah.
The bloody diarrhea, just cleaning that up.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Is that, what's going on? Is that what the issue is?
In the store?
Yeah. All right. Well, Chipotle already has that one crisis to worry about. And then there was another issue going on over at Chipotle. Because you ever get the cup from Chipotle and there's like a bunch of gibberish on it?
Yeah.
So
like what?
Well, there's like a bunch of like it's just like
a drinking cup.
Yeah, like a drinking cup. There's like a bunch of like
okay, writing on it and stuff.
Yeah, there's all sorts of writing and different things like that. It looks like sort of like the wall of like a TGI Fridays. They're just like throwing a bunch of stuff up there, and right. So there's like squiggly lines and pictures and different words. But a mom recently took her son to Chipotle and was looking at the drinking cup and found the words reproductive sex on the cup at Chipotle.
That's the only kind of sex Christians believe in.
Well, yeah, and maybe it was meant for that Scandinavian country that was trying to encourage people to have more children. Maybe the cups got mixed up.
Now, you don't think that there's some sort of a connection here between the E. coli outbreak and then the reproductive sex cups?
Does reproductive sex cause E. coli?
I think there are some. There's definitely some germs involved with reproductive sex.
Yeah. So, is this an issue? Why is Chipotle putting its subliminal messaging onto their drinking cups?
Their conservative agenda, man.
I don't know. The Nazis did it. Maybe they're just borrowing from the Nazis.
Okay.
Look.
Are you going to cut that out, Rob?
No. I think that's fine. What is Chipotle doing here? I mean, why are they getting into any sort of alternative thinking in terms of their marketing? Like, what is the upside here of Chipotle talking about reproductive sex on their drinking cups, Tyson?
I don't think there is one. I think it's always bad when a corporation gets too political, especially like a food restaurant where you want everyone to come.
Yeah.
So it's like, remember,
is that what they're going for?
You want everyone to come into the restaurant.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a trend, Rob, I get it. To increase the number of people who will come to Chipotle in the future. Reproductive sex, have more kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Chipotle guy.
That's
true. And now you're bringing your kids, and now they have a whole new generation of Chipotle eaters.
So as you're urging more customers to reproduce, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was just kind of thinking of when Chick-fil-A got all political, and that didn't work out well for them for a little while.
Yeah.
And In-N-Out, right? They put stuff on their packaging.
Maybe.
Is that where they got the name from?
Right. Don't they have John 3:16 on a lot of their stuff?
Oh, yeah. So in terms of the restaurant business, I mean, is it lucky that this happened at Chipotle? Like if this happened at Subway, would this be a bigger scandal?
It always depends because you never know what's going on with Subway that week. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they would have had a bigger scandal outweighing this one. So it probably wouldn't have been as big of a deal.
Is it safer to put this in a tweet or on a cup?
Yeah, I was going to say, is Chipotle just trying to hold serve with IHOP after all of the crazy things that they had been saying out on Twitter?
You have to get into these people's minds, man. I think it's some guy, because to me, whenever you see this, I know as a person and as a maybe amateur marketing analysis, that's not a smart idea, but you have a whole room full of people sitting around a table and one guy says reproductive sex on the cup and everybody at the table says, that's a good idea, Tom. And so then they do it and now that guy's fired, but they have to go through that entire thing of him pushing his idea until everybody thinks it's such a great idea. And then it turns out it's not.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like there's no upside here for this at Chipotle. So really, Chipotle is in a real firestorm between this and the E. coli scandal. Also, do you think that maybe is Chipotle just trying to go for viral marketing with this? Is that a possibility, Danny? Yeah. Do you think that they could just have been trying to do this to get people like us talking about it?
It's more of a cynical approach, but very possible. I mean, we're talking about it, and obviously everyone who heard about it is talking about it. So yeah, reproductive sex is a good way to get people talking about your burritos, which are phallic shaped. So
yeah, they are. No press is bad press except for bad press.
Yeah. All right. So we'll keep an eye on this story. And please, if anybody else is going to Chipotle and braving the E. coli outbreak, if you see any other hidden messages on your cups, please let us know on Twitter with the hashtag NewsAF so we can keep track of this ongoing story and break any news if it develops. All right. So other fast food stories. All right. So a Canadian restaurant called The Works has a new burger that is not on a black bun, but is topped with crunchy onions, bacon, and Reese's peanut butter cups. It's a $16 burger available in Canada until January 10th. Tyson, are you going to be making a trip north of the border to pick up the Works burger with bacon, crunchy onion, and Reese's peanut butter cups?
You had me sold until the Reese's peanut butter cups. I mean, the rest of the burger sounds actually pretty good, but I just don't. I know the whole salty and savory thing. Like, I love salted caramel flavor as much as anybody else, but I think this for me is too much.
Too much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just feel so bad about myself after this. If I ate that thing, because I feel bad enough after eating candy and I feel bad enough after eating a hamburger. Now imagine if those feelings are exponentially growing every bite I take.
Now, Danny, most people say that the idea of chocolate and peanut butter combined is almost this magical marriage that comes together. What do you think about the combination of chocolate, peanut butter, and burger?
Well, meat goes with everything, I guess.
Yeah, meat does go with everything.
I look at this just the same way I look at the reproductive sex. It's just an attempt to get attention. It's so outrageous. I mean, can we even find someone who's eaten the entire burger? Are they out there? Have they all
been institutionalized? I'm sure we could find a listener that did that.
That ate the entire thing from start to finish.
Not just a bite, because that's like, you know, that's novel.
Well, how big is the burger? Is it like a half pound?
Yeah, it looks big.
Mm.
The kind of burger where your mouth can't open up wide enough unless you've had some jaw work done.
Also, don't forget about the bacon. Also, you have to sort of, you know, face those health risks associated with the bacon on top of it.
Plus all the stuff is going to be dripping onto your shirt. That's my big concern.
Yeah. It's just like the Reese's peanut butter cup, and nobody loves those more than I do, but it's also going to melt also.
I think that's part of the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Carl's Jr. advertisement.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about this half pound burger plus bacon plus the Reese's peanut butter cup plus the onions too. I feel like the onions really don't go with the chocolate or the peanut butter.
I don't think there's one part of that burger that goes with the chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah.
So you're saying without onions, then that burger would be something for you.
No, I still don't know. I think maybe I would need to try just, do burgers and chocolate go together in the first place, let alone the peanut butter?
Well, aren't you the closest to Canada? Can't you get up there and maybe come back and tell us next Monday how it tasted?
Am I the closest to Canada?
I don't think that's true
at all. Where are you based?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Oh, no, you're not close.
Where did you think he was? New York?
I thought you were New York.
He's from New York original, so
yeah.
Maybe on your next visit at home.
Yeah. I went to college somewhat like, an hour and a half from the Canadian border. Yeah.
Wow.
So
you went to college?
Yeah. So it was somewhat close. All right. So we will keep track of this. The good news about this, the Works Burger, no E. coli reported from anybody eating this burger.
I think maybe nobody's eaten the burger yet.
Yeah. Steven in the chat room, Steven Caggiano, says peanut butter cups with bacon on a cheeseburger is delicious.
But Steven, have you actually eaten this burger or the whole burger? I think he's just making it up, or he's just basing it off of his mental image of all those flavors combined.
Yeah. Did you guys eat a lot of candy over the weekend? Not necessarily on a burger.
I ate quite a bit because nobody comes to my house for trick-or-treating because we live in a kind of a weird spot. And Rachel bought all this candy for all the trick-or-treaters. Not one person showed up to trick-or-treat. So I had to kind of eat the whole basket by myself.
And what kind of candy?
It was one of those mixed minis bags. Like it had Snickers and Three Musketeers and Skittles and M&Ms. I picked out all the Snickers.
Wow. Were you really satisfied?
Yeah, I guess so. Because I was kind of being a diva that night with the whole princess thing.
Yeah.
And that really kind of calmed me down a little bit.
Yeah. We didn't have any good Halloween candy at my house. I had to go to the store and actually buy candy.
Yeah, everybody has to do that.
Yeah.
Halloween. Oh yeah, you thought it just showed up to your house?
No, I wanted candy that I liked. That there was we had nothing. We had nothing good that my wife bought. And I said, all right, well, screw this. I'm getting my own candy.
So what did your wife buy?
She bought Skittles and Butterfinger. Well, Butterfinger's not bad, but I really I'm looking for chocolate. I don't want any sort of this like Skittles, Starburst, sort of like some sort of like fruit flavored candy. Yeah. Stop it.
So what did you go get?
I bought I bought a Payday because I like that. And then I also got a king size peanut butter cups.
To give away?
No, to eat.
Oh.
Put on a hamburger? Yeah.
No hamburger. No hamburger. I said, that was going to be the one thing. When the Mets lose tonight, I'm going to just eat a bunch of candy. So that
eat
was
your sorrows away.
Yeah, that's really what I really had a treat. Either it was a win-win for me.
Here's something to think about. You never hear about E. coli outbreaks with candy.
I'm sure it's happened, right?
I don't know. I think maybe I'll just stick to candy from now on.
Yeah, it's a safe bet.
As opposed to going to Chipotle?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, in terms of trick-or-treaters, some people had better luck than others. In Canada, again, an employee at a pharmacy was accidentally giving out medication for bipolar disorders to trick-or-treaters for Halloween. Better or worse
than Flocka
to get on Halloween when you go trick-or-treating, candy or bipolar disorder medication, Tyson?
Well, I think if you're bipolar and you don't know it, this could be maybe one of the best candies you've ever gotten. And let me ask you this. If you take the bipolar medication and aren't bipolar, does that create bipolar dumb or bipolarness?
I think you were saying that bipolar people are dumb for a second.
No. So, not at all. One of their personas maybe is.
I don't know. But no, I don't think that you would accidentally become bipolar by taking the medicine.
Okay, so would it give you some more focus, or would you even feel anything from it?
That's a good question. Danny, I know you are probably the expert on anything scientific, right? Would you happen to know that?
No, but my question is, why does the bipolar medication look like candy? I mean, was there that much confusion? Are they these people making medicine that looks like candy? Is that how you trick people?
That's how you get people into eating it, yeah.
Right? Oh, here's a delicious...
And it was individually Skittle. Wrapped. I yeah, read that in the story, wrapped. Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who goes trick-or-treating to the drugstore?
Yeah.
To the pharmacy? The best yeah. No, they always do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Kids just go in the store?
Pharmacies, because they're the ones that give away safe candy. Because mm-hmm. they x-rayed it and everything.
Yeah, I guess in the scheme of things, I mean, this could have been a lot worse, right? Like if they found out that instead of like bipolar medicine, they were giving kids like Viagra or something like that. Like this could have, this like was not the worst case scenario by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, no, we can, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. Yeah. It could have
been a lot worse. So apparently what had happened was somebody had dropped the pills and then somebody picked them up and put them too close to the Halloween candy. Causing the pills to be confused with the candy.
Hey, I just found these dangerous pills on the floor. Let me put them right here next to the candy.
Classic old accidental switcheroo.
Yeah. I mean, on the bright side, nobody put razor blades in the pills.
On accident.
Yeah, by, on accident or on purpose. That's always good.
Although I did see a picture of a piece of candy with like 40 razor blades jammed in it.
Where do you mean you saw a picture of that? Like on Twitter?
Yeah, I forget where it was posted, but it was like, oh, I don't think this candy's good. And it had like, it's literally had like 10 razor blades jumping out of it.
Every November 1st, there's like a million stories about needles and razor blades and, you know, unsavory things that have been jammed into candy. Mm. I saw needles. I saw little candy bars that had like 5 needles in them each.
Like, really? Again, like some parent was like, hey, look what somebody got.
Yeah, and you wonder how they discovered the needles. That wasn't in the story, you know? Mm. Bite into it, and you're like, a little bit harder than usual. This caramel is just really tough. Or did you break, does the paranoid parent break every candy bar their kid gets in half looking for these objects? That's what I want to know.
The razor blade candy was a joke candy based on all the based on all the propaganda about how people are putting razor blades in candy.
Yeah. So is that an urban legend at this point? Is it like Tyson saying like people are doing it as a joke because of like all of the, but Danny, you're saying people are actually still doing that?
Yeah. Well, the razor blade, I remember in high school, there was always the razor blade story, right?
Yeah. But I heard some, like one of the biggest hospitals in the country that x-rays candy for kids said that they have never in their life seen any candy come through with any sort of tainting like that.
Saying, I've only heard stories.
If we're x-raying the candy that the kids are going to eat, like doesn't the like radiation from the x-ray at some point become more dangerous to the kid than the possibility
than the
razor blade? 1 in 50 million chance that they're going to, you know, find a needle or a razor blade?
Yes, but then after they x-ray it, they give you iodine pills to help battle the radiation. So it's kind of like the kids get an extra treat after you x-ray your candy. So it's just all, they've got the system.
I don't know. Also, I mean, they also dodged a bullet at the pharmacy that they didn't accidentally drop razor blades into the bag of candy because they sell those also.
Yeah. Good thing. And hypodermic needles. I mean, it could have been a lot worse, as Rob pointed out earlier.
Yeah, a lot worse.
Is the move just to go and buy your own candy and then just like sub it out? Like, you know, your kid comes home and then it's like, okay, here's my bag of candy. It's like, okay, here's the safe parent approved candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like, instead of trick-or-treating yourself, isn't it safer to just buy your own candy? And as an adult, I would say definitely.
That's what I did.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the easiest and you get to choose exactly what you want to eat and in what quantities. And so I think, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Is that what you did for Dominic?
No, we didn't give him any candy. I mean, he was just
no candy at all.
Yeah, he didn't have any candy.
Did you do trick or treating with him or no?
We took him to there was a community center that had like a Halloween party that we brought him to, but it was still a little over his head that he did not really understand what was going on. They had like a bunch of like carnival games there with him, and they had like things like throw a beanbag through a hole, and he just like did not really understand. Like they gave him like a prize and he put the prize through the hole. Like he just did not really
sounds
understand.
Like a really perfect time to teach him about reproductive sex.
yeah, he just did not really have a grasp, but like he understood pumpkins and decorations but did not really understand like overall what was going on for the day.
Okay, well, maybe next year.
Okay. In other Halloween news, also, you know, people in China are trying to celebrate Halloween. Danny, did you celebrate Halloween in China when you were there?
You know, they're not. You know, the Japanese are huge into American holidays, but the Chinese haven't caught on yet.
Okay, well, apparently there's some people who are trying to get it going, and they're going and riding the subway, and the Chinese police are telling them not to do that because it is really scaring the other passengers. Big problem.
I can see that.
When I visited Danny, Chinese, native Chinese people are the easiest people in the world to scare. I scared a whole entire classroom full of kids at the museum.
Yes.
And then I thought that was so funny. Like all 40 of them seriously jumped. Mm-hmm. And then I thought that was so funny that I scared like 10 more people in that museum that were adults. And they, none of them thought it was funny.
But are you worried about causing like some sort of like international incident or being arrested in another country? Like, you don't know all the laws there. I mean, how do you know what you're doing isn't going to get you in trouble?
Well, I'll just declare diplomatic immunity.
But you're not a diplomat.
Yeah, but I don't have my... Yeah, I don't... You can only tell that by the license plates.
Yeah. What continent do you think is the hardest to scare?
Oh, dude, probably
Russia,
Eastern Europe. Yeah,
yeah, they're not scared. They've seen it all.
They're not scared at all.
Yeah, I feel like countries with like really dangerous animals, like I feel like Africa, I feel like it would probably be hard to scare, you know, people because you know, depending on, you know, where you are, but if there's like a dangerous like you know, animals and wildlife, I think that you know they thank goodness it's just a person.
Yeah, but I think if you took me to Australia, I could definitely scare somebody.
Well, they have like really big spiders there, though, right?
The funnel web spiders are dangerous. Mm-hmm. They're deadly.
They have a huntsman spider that's like this big and is always on your wall.
Yeah, but that thing's fine.
Did you scare any people when you lived in China?
No, I leave that up to Tyson. Tyson's more of a prankster than I am.
You witnessed me scaring this group of kids, though.
I don't want to get arrested and then disappear for 10 years. And so I.
Oh, and I do?
Well, I don't know.
Seems like you're trending in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I almost got in a fight. And the only thing I thought the whole time I was getting in this fight with this Chinese guy was, I'm going to be sent to Chinese prison. And that actually stopped me from getting in a fight because the thought of that was
what
just.
What was the
terrifying.
Fight about?
He kept following us, trying to sell us stuff, just going. I mean, he was following us down the street. So finally I turned around and said, we don't want. In a very strong way, I said, we don't want it. You know,
in Chinese or in English?
In English. And okay. I used some choice words. And he took off his shoe. And we were standing in the middle of one of those Chinese, like 12 lane highways. And he's got his shoe up in the air, threatening to hit me with it, like from 4 feet away. And I'm like, are you serious? Are you going to fight me over this?
With a shoe?
With a shoe. And then my wife came out and pushed him away, and traffic started moving. But the whole time I'm thinking, I'm going to go to jail and no one's ever going to see me again.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my experience, Tyson. I don't want a reoccurring that to reoccur by pranking someone.
But what if you would have pranked him? He probably would have backed off in the first place.
Maybe.
What did you end up doing, Danny, to end up in the jail cell that you're in right now?
I got married and had three kids.
Rob's on number two.
How scary are these costumes that people are in that they're worried about causing a disturbance in the subway? Where, you know,
what very scary.
What are people dressed as in the Chinese subway where it's causing like a riot in the subway? People like trying to get away from whatever they're seeing in the subway.
When I lived in Switzerland 10 years ago, I watched a neighborhood party celebrate Halloween. Every single male there was dressed as a vampire and every single female was dressed as a witch. And I can imagine China kind of being the same thing where they're all like, oh, the same thing. Maybe they're all dressed as like Barbie or something.
Hmm.
Well, in China, they are dressed as zombies.
Oh, zombies are really a hot thing.
Yeah, they were dressed as zombies. And in China, I mean, when we would ride the subway in Shanghai, everyone was kind of quiet, head down, kept to themselves, which is pretty common, I guess, in most subways. But they have a special way of not trying to interact with anybody else. So to see somebody in a zombie costume down there on a platform would be disturbing.
Mm. Guy Jen wants to know, did they show pictures of Tyson's costume and people were turned on, not scared? Is that possible?
That's possible.
But like, how do they show them? Like, they have like a projector down there?
I guess so. Or maybe just on each other's phones. They just get like a public service announcement.
Yeah. It went viral. All right. Another Halloween story that was going on. A man in Minnesota spent 6 months growing a giant pumpkin. He got it to be a half a ton. And then the man...
That's 1,000 pounds.
publicly lifted that pumpkin up into the air with some sort of a crane and then dropped it on a minivan, smashing it. Tyson, what is your take on minivan destruction?
You should not destroy minivans. They're beautiful vehicles. It also depends on what kind of minivan. Because if it was a Honda Odyssey, I'd be pretty upset. Toyota Sienna, I'd still be a little upset. But then all the other minivans pale in comparison to those two.
Danny, what's the connection between dropping a pumpkin on a minivan?
I don't know. I mean, didn't someone have a cart or carriage made out of a pumpkin? And maybe this was
like Cinderella.
Trying to meld the two things by
anti-Cinderella.
Yeah, right. Smashing it into the minivan, hoping that they'll kind of fuse together and form a modern day Cinderella carriage.
Is that what happened in Cinderella? They turned her minivan into a pumpkin.
Yeah. Or maybe washing out the daily doldrums of minivan life.
Yes. Maybe that's just, he was trying to signify destroying that kind of suburban life. It was some kind of social revolt.
Yeah. It's like you're rebelling against sort of like the, you know, day-to-day mundane driving a minivan around. Like, well, you know what? We're blowing up that world. We're dropping a giant pumpkin on it.
Yeah. Could have been an environmental statement, right? Nature destroying
man's creation.
Man's creations. Yeah.
Man's finest creation.
Mother Nature.
There's a lot to read into this. Back.
Yeah. On the minivan. So this guy charged $1 for admission into that and then donated all the money into charity. And they're hoping to do it again next year with an even bigger pumpkin. Would you pay $1 to go see this, Tyson?
Well, if it's an even bigger pumpkin, won't they need an even bigger van?
I think it's going to be an even smaller van.
Oh, to be even more impressive. Yes. Crunch. That's a good idea. I would pay to see that, but I would not travel and then pay to see it. So if it was like next door, I would pay $1 to see that.
If it was local.
Yeah, I would pay $1 if you would drive to the event and then at random, he would swing the giant pumpkin into some stranger's car as they drove into the event.
Yeah. But what if it was yours? That's the luck of the draw.
Price of admission.
Hmm. Could we outdo this somehow? Shut Up Tim wants to know, can News AF do this on Blab next year? Like drop a giant pumpkins on stuff. How about this? Why don't we do a competing event where we drop a minivan on a pumpkin?
Oh.
We're going to get a bigger and bigger minivan and then drop it on like a bigger pumpkins.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Can we fill the minivan with pumpkins?
Yes.
I have an idea. Let's put a pumpkin in a minivan, fill the pumpkin with Tannerite, and then shoot it, the pumpkin will explode and blow the minivan to pieces.
Well, we don't want to be classified as one of those like domestic terrorist groups. Like, I feel like when you're getting into explosives, I feel like then you start to get on the radar.
You can buy it at Walmart. Yeah, you can buy this stuff off the shelf at Walmart.
Yeah, that's what they say. I feel like
the government's watching.
You come up here, watching. You can do anything in the desert. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. So you want to detonate a pumpkin
inside a minivan in the desert.
Inside the desert.
Inside the desert. So maybe it would be huge. It would be awesome. Windows would be blowing out. The pumpkin pieces would be going all over. It would be awesome.
I feel like that seems dangerous.
Of course it's dangerous. That's what makes it awesome. Yeah. We'll be like Mythbusters with that
plexiglass.
What about we get the minivan, load it with pumpkins, put a pumpkin on like the gas pedal, and then drive the minivan into a giant pumpkin
that's filled with explosives?
Yeah, we need explosives.
It's filled with candy. It's like a piñata. It's like a pumpkin. Yeah, pumpkinata.
Yeah. That's that. Well, let's not use that hashtag until we perfect it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No pumpkin, no.
We'll use one of these ideas or a combination of all of them.
Yeah, so tune in next year, guys.
Yeah.
We're still workshopping
364
it for next year. All right, so that's something to watch out for. Apparently, 360 people ended up coming to this thing.
Doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, that's $360 he donated to charity. The cost of raising a pumpkin over the course of its lifetime, $800 in water and time. The minivan.
Do you think we're losing money on this?
Yeah.
The minivan, if you buy brand new, is about $25,000 to $35,000 for a mid-range.
I don't think it was a new minivan. I think it was a junker minivan.
okay, still we're looking at a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, if you just don't, if you donated the minivan to charity, I think you probably get like, you know, some sort of a write-off that's more sizable than $360.
I like how Tyson's looking at the practical implications and seeing just right through it all.
Yeah. Is it possible that we just need to be charging more money to watch the pumpkin drop on a minivan?
We can charge more at our event because there's an explosion, and that makes all the difference.
And we're celebrities.
All right. We'll work out the details of it. This isn't necessarily a Halloween story, but it's spooky. There was a prosecutor in West Virginia who was recently suspended from their job for shooting fake spiders that were used as Halloween decorations in the courtroom.
It does actually sound like a Halloween story.
Yeah, it does have a Halloween twist to it.
Okay. I think that's probably pretty dangerous. Plus, what kind of ringer would you have to be to have the confidence to be like, yeah, I'm going to blast those dangling spiders from the sky with my
gun. Well, the guy had arachnophobia, so he had a terrible fear of spiders, and they decorated
it's like Jeff Daniels.
He had a terrible fear of spiders, so he took out a gun, and I'm not sure if he necessarily was thought it was real, or he just hated the decorations.
It sounds like it could have been both. When I read the story, he knew they were decorations, but he had advised his coworkers earlier that he was terrified of spiders and he would open fire on spiders.
If he thought they were real, we should really look into how he got a handgun, because there needs to be a police inquiry.
Is this a real or fake spider?
A gun, believing that plastic spiders are real spiders.
Now, yeah, this is a great question. I would love to interview this guy.
He's in jail, isn't he?
No, he's just suspended from work and from carrying a firearm.
Yeah.
Really? That's all he got?
Well, arachnophobia, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next time you're in trouble with the law, just claim arachnophobia.
Next time I'm firing my gun at random, I'm afraid of that. I have pumpkinophobia.
Yeah. Is arachnophobia a valid reason to get a gun in the first place?
I feel like you would maybe carry bug spray or something like that over.
You're moving to the Amazon, where supposedly spiders are as big as kittens.
I've been there.
Yeah. Oh, so maybe you saw one of those giant spiders.
When were you in the Amazon?
Well, a long while ago. But is a gun the most effective weapon against large spiders?
No.
I feel like a flamethrower is probably.
Unless the gun has a spring-loaded shoe that shoots out, you know, because that's probably more effective than a
big rock. Maybe it just rocks.
Yeah.
What do our Australian listeners do against the giant spiders?
I don't know. But I lived in the Philippines and we had giant spiders there.
Did people carry firearms for that?
No. Well, people carried firearms, but not for the spiders.
Yeah.
And they carried machetes too, but also not for the spiders. The spiders didn't really bother them. They just like lived in harmony.
You know what I feel like might be pretty effective against giant spiders is a giant pumpkin falling on them.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Guys, there's a pretty big spider in my concrete cloister right now.
Do you have a gun?
I actually do. I have a shotgun right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
People are getting more than they bargained for today.
I can only imagine what would happen if I shot that with my shotgun. The good news is I'm already wearing headphones.
Yeah.
I don't know who's upstairs, though.
Do you think you would get any, what's it called when it bounces off?
Ricochet. Yeah,
it
would
be like a pinball machine in here with all the pellets. Pew, 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 pew.
But think about how many props you would get on Blab.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do it. Oh, sorry, everyone.
You'd get so many props, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of people in some sort of a concrete bunker with a shotgun, there's a doomsday group called the E-Bible Fellowship. And they've recently had to post a frequently asked questions section on their website to explain why none of their doomsday prophecies have come true yet.
I love this story. It's such a great story because these doomsday groups, they take such a risk in saying that the end of the world is going to be this day.
Yeah, you really put yourself out there.
It's like shooting first in a duel.
Yeah, right? But guys, they weren't following the ancient calendars. They were accidentally following the Roman calendar and it had changed.
Yeah. Well, that's the risk, right?
Yeah.
You use the right calendar, and now that they just look kind of foolish. Mm. That's why I love these stories. It's just so much risk, and it's just not worth it. Why not? Right as the world is burning and people are being taken up, then say it's the end of the world. Yeah. I mean, you'll get a little bit of a lead.
I like the fact that there's still people that are members of this group, even after it's like, we were wrong twice, but guys, I promise that after we recalculate, we're going to get it right. So just stick with us.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like the best way to get attention, I think, is to announce that you know when the end of the world is. Because I feel like then people will listen and they're like, oh, I better listen to this guy. He seems like he knows what he's talking about. It says the end of the world is going to be this specific day and I'm going to listen to them. But then when it doesn't happen, you really get caught like sort of with your pants down.
But if you constantly say it's going to be the end of the world, eventually you're going to get it right. And then you'll be like, I told you, see? I knew it.
You didn't believe me.
No one's going to remember all the times you were wrong. They're going to remember that one time you were right as they're burning.
So
that's true.
On the frequently asked questions, one of the frequently asked questions that they're asking the E-Bible Fellowship is, did we lie? Did we lie is one of the frequently asked questions. The answer, no. The fact is, we consistently told people that October 7, 2015, being the end of the world, was a strong likelihood. And according to the good amount of biblical evidence at our disposal, it was. Therefore, saying it was a strong likelihood was a true statement. We openly acknowledged that there was a small likelihood it would not happen. There was no lie or deceitfulness involved in any way.
A small likelihood sounds like we just barely got through that thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost like taking like the weather person like response of like, we said there would be an 80% chance it would rain. It didn't rain. We were still right in saying there was an 80% chance it was going to rain.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it after the fact. My wonder is, did they have these statements prepared before the 7th?
Yeah. I think somewhere in the archives they probably did. Like they were like, right? Okay, we have it all written out. So after the 7th, just push post.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
should they do like a 10-day outlook for end of the world, like a weather report? Should they say like, all right, looks like we got smooth sailing through the rest of the week, but come the weekend, where this is where we're getting into a little bit of, we got some chance of like fire and brimstone. There's going to be a 25% on the coastal lands. You're probably safe, but inland, you're looking at definitely bring an umbrella because it could be a terrible day that day.
Well, it's just, they actually have something like that. And I can't recall where it is, but there's someone who monitors the Middle East and uses it as an indicator for the end of the world.
Oh, like the doomsday clock.
Yeah, is that what that is? I've heard of something like that. So there is someone who has like a percentage that the world will end today. And so if you want, you can probably download. I'm sure they have an app and you can always just kind of monitor it. So you know.
Yeah, well, they do have the doomsday clock, which is how many minutes to midnight it is.
Oh, no, this is different. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and midnight is the end of the world, right?
Yeah, right now we're 3 minutes to midnight. They've recently moved it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Discouraging.
Yeah, due to continued lack of global political action to address global climate change, the modernization of nuclear weapons in the United States and Russia, and the problem of nuclear waste. So we are actually only 3 minutes till midnight right now.
Ooh.
Again, that is just the chance,
midnight being
the probability of it. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're totally 3 minutes away from midnight.
It's a safer way to predict the end, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Because you can just move it to 12 right when everything goes to pop.
Yeah, and it's midnight.
Boom. Now, Tyson, I know you spend a lot of time visiting the zoos around the country and around the world, but a woman recently who shared your love of animals was broke into the tiger cage in Nebraska to pet the tiger.
Sounds like she loves animals more than me.
And was severely bitten on her hand by the animal.
She's lucky that's all that happened.
I know.
So you think she got off easy?
Oh yeah, those tigers. I mean, in San Francisco, didn't they kill two people or one person and severely injured the other? And they were shooting it with a pellet gun. Then they snuck back in. Tyson, you're a zoo guy.
Yeah, isn't that what happened? One of the two. And rumor is the tiger jumped like a huge span and weaseled its way up because they were shooting it with pellet guns and throwing shoes at it and stuff.
Throwing shoes at it.
Yeah. Like they had like backpack full of stuff that they were like unloading on the tiger. The tiger gets up, gets on one of them, one of the kids, and kills it, the kid, or does something to it. Maybe it's dead. I refer to the child as it. Maybe the kid, I think the kid died. Then the tiger runs through the zoo past a bunch of other zoo visitors, targeting only the child that was shooting him with the pellet gun.
You don't mess with tigers. I think I would, if I saw a tiger in any situation, I would take cover, hide behind Tyson, or just do whatever I could to get away from it.
It's a good move. I wouldn't hide behind Tyson because I think Tyson is very fast. And I feel like that pretty soon Tyson would just be gone and I'd just be standing there.
You always want to visit the zoo with someone who's slower at running than you.
Yes, but Tyson has weak ankles, so if you can kick him hard enough in the ankle.
Is that true?
Yeah, he's got one weak ankle.
Weak ankle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Now, was it a mistake for this woman to have recently consumed a The Works burger before handling the tiger? And have hands covered in melted chocolate and peanut butter and burger.
And burger grease and bacon fat.
Was that a mistake?
It could have been a mistake. I would think that you'd want to eat something a little less appetizing because you know how much tigers love that burger.
Yeah. Now, what would possess this woman to love tigers so much that she wanted to go pet the tiger?
People do stupid things, man. I don't know.
This is what it comes down to?
I think it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, she's a 33-year-old woman. Seems to be looks kind of normal in her picture. And she just wanted to go in and pet the tiger.
Well, whenever I hear a story like this, my first question is, was alcohol involved?
Yeah.
Was it?
It's a great question.
I always am thinking back to Grizzly Man and just being like, maybe she's the tiger woman.
Yeah.
Who wanted to be.
Yeah. To that guy's Grizzly Man.
Yeah. To be fair, the woman was aggressive towards the staff and did show signs of intoxication.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah. So we'll see. She also was sentenced to prison for her third time, for her third DUI in 2011. So she
got a DUI for this?
Yeah, she didn't get a DUI for this, but she has three DUIs. She also has criminal convictions, including drunk driving, graffiti, disturbing the peace, and obstruction of justice and shoplifting. At that point, don't they just, let the tiger have her?
Yeah, I think if they would have known all this going in, they could have probably just been like, well.
Yeah.
We're thinning the herd.
This woman's a menace to society in the first place.
Yeah.
Probably putting razor blades in candy as well.
I bet.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So we'll see if there's any further developments with that story. There was also a
developments as in what?
Like if she gets out, or she touches other animals.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if she touches other animals.
Yeah. So there was a new survey that was done where they asked European men and women to demonstrate which part of the body that each gender is okay with different people in their lives touching. Did you guys take a look at this chart?
Oh, yeah.
I did, but I didn't fully understand it.
Basically, men will let a strange woman touch them anywhere is the headline there. And that's right. I mean, it kind of had a color. It was the color code,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was color coded.
As it got darker, that represented places they were less comfortable with. And while the groin area was darker, it still wasn't so dark that it meant no man would let a strange woman touch him there.
So it was like a dark gray.
Yeah. I mean, that's not surprising, right?
So, no, not entirely, no.
So what were your big takeaways from this, Danny? Will it impact how you are touching other people?
I don't let anyone touch me. Whatever the color was for do not touch, that would be my entire body.
His entire body.
Covered in that.
I hugged him at his wedding.
Yeah, and you didn't like that?
He was fine with it then, I think.
It was okay.
In the moment. Yeah, I already told this story about Danny, didn't I? Where we were in Europe and the lady tried to kiss us on the cheeks.
You told it twice.
Yeah, I love telling it.
And then what happened? Her
kisses. Then he refused her a hug. Then he begrudgingly gave her a handshake.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'll shake hands with a stranger?
I don't want to, but because I don't know where their hand has been. And so I'd rather do like a fist bump. Maybe we could make fist bump the socially acceptable greeting.
Yeah. That's what Jeff Probst does. He fist bumps.
Jeff Probst fist bumps? Why? Yeah, does he want to get E. coli from people?
Yeah. On the palm of his hand.
Yeah. So, I mean, the takeaway here is that men are lonely creatures open to touching.
Yeah.
From strangers.
Now, I also saw a survey with tigers. They were very comfortable with any humans touching them.
Yeah.
Friends, any type of person. They wanted the people to come and touch them.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
And this woman probably saw that survey.
She read this survey.
Yeah.
Now,
How many tigers, though? 100 tigers were surveyed?
100 tigers surveyed. top five human body parts on the board. So, Danny, now, do we know, is the European version any different of this than the American version?
Yeah. I mean, come on. The what do they call that space? Personal space, mm-hmm. right? They've done studies where they show personal space or personal bubbles, or and they show it by culture. And I think, you know, most cultures outside of, it feels like America, have a much smaller personal bubble. And that woman who came in to kiss me, her, you know, her bubble is pretty small. She doesn't realize that mine is the size of like the largest American, like 1,000-pound American.
Pumpkin.
Yeah,
like that ginormous pumpkin.
You would want to get inside the pumpkin.
And hide from society, yes.
If you could. They also said from this study that men are also far less comfortable with touching from their friends than women are. So women don't seem to have a problem with their friends touching them. Even European men seem to struggle with this. Danny, do you feel more at home in Europe with your male friends or in America?
Well, in the image, I think it just showed them touching the shoulders, right? That was kind of, was kind of the acceptable place to touch, which I think is the same in America. Strangers will come up and kind of put their hand on your shoulder, which is weird, but they'll do it.
Yeah. But Tyson, you don't seem to struggle with this, right? You don't seem to mind if your guy friends are touching you.
No, that's fine.
You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
So how did you and Danny become friends? It seems like this would be an insurmountable roadblock.
Opposites attract, man.
Opposites attract, but he's saying he does not want any, he does not want this.
And by the way, I believe in gender equality because I don't want either, you know, gender touching me, male or female.
Yeah.
So
he's actually probably a little more comfortable with the male touch.
Yeah. Well, how did you meet your wife then?
It took a long time. She actually still complains about the lack of touching outside of the home that takes place. She wants a lot of PDA.
Yeah. Oh, she wants PDA.
She wants PDA, but she says I have destroyed that desire. So maybe I'm ruining my my marriage by not allowing personal touch.
Yeah. Okay.
How are you, Rob? How are you with this personal touch stuff?
I'm probably not super. I wish I was more comfortable with it. I feel like I just feel like I'm such an awkward person to begin with. I just don't that.
I think that's one of the main keys that makes you awkward is just saying that you're awkward.
Even if I can self-identify with it, like I want to be less awkward. Like I don't like I wish I was, you know, better with it.
Okay. Well, you always hug me when we see each other, and that turns out fine.
I always Tyson's going to want to hug, but I feel like I get caught up a lot in the, like, I go in for a handshake and then, oh, this person wanted to hug. And then, you know, God forbid somebody wants to do some sort of like elaborate handshake. I really struggle with that.
Yeah.
You always go in for a hug if you know the person, Rob. That's like the new thing.
You know, I also struggle with, you know, with women of like, you know, if it's like an acquaintance woman, at what point is it like kiss on the cheek, hug, handshake? I feel like often I've like gone for the hug and I've gotten the handshake and I feel like then I put myself out there.
Really?
Yeah.
But if you have the confidence to just still go for the hug, then it makes everything okay.
The thing is to have a hard and fast rule so there are no awkward moments. You only do a handshake. That's the only thing you do. So then there's no stupid like, oh, I'm coming in for a side hug, full hug. What do I do here? It's like, no, I do handshake. So it's this or nothing.
So you would stonewall the person that they're coming in for a hug. Is like, no, I do handshakes.
Generally what I say is I don't hug when they're coming in for a hug.
See, I feel like that's very standoffish. I feel like the move that you could do is somebody's like, you know, like putting their hand out like, come on, stop. It's me. And you override the stop sign. You go through the stop sign.
That's what you do. I'm telling you, that's what I do. Because then when people, like when you're saying how people are trying to give you the handshake as you thought you were going to hug them, you just do that. You're just like, no, we're hugging.
You say, stop, come on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
You don't take no for an answer.
For me.
Well, usually that's enough and it throws them off enough that they're like, oh, okay. And they end up liking it in the end.
So when Jeff Probst is coming in with a fist bump, Tyson, you're overriding the fist bump, not going to handshake. You're going directly to hug.
I've done both with him.
And what does he say?
You can tell he's a little uncomfortable with the hug, but you still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Look at you. Look at you.
Yeah.
All right. One more news story. This combines a couple different things that we're talking about between Europe and touching and needles. A man in a Serbian prison recently was trying to improve the size of his member, we'll go with, and did not have the means of being...
So you mean like member of a gym?
His manhood. Okay. His manhood. He came up with the idea of injecting petroleum jelly into his genitals to improve the size. But he says that he was advised by a plastic surgeon that this would be a good move.
So like Vaseline?
Vaseline, yeah.
Yes.
So he got Vaseline.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did he use to inject?
Prisons are full of needles.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So that was the move.
And he didn't fear getting AIDS or something like that.
Probably already has AIDS. He's in a Serbian prison.
Okay. No, stop. So that was the move to so he decided that
did
he
it work out?
To he injected 80 grams of Vaseline into his unit.
That's like this much.
Over a 4-day span.
And now it's rotting off.
Yeah. Well, the good news was that they became very swollen. So that was positive.
Worked out for him. Okay.
But he was in terrible pain. And they just eventually, due to like the infection and stuff like that, they had to end up like cutting parts out to try to save his life. So
the question is, will we start getting spam emails offering this procedure?
Well, no, it's
is that possible?
It's a very short-term benefit, I think.
Maybe we could. Well, maybe we could market this.
Here's the weird thing: for us. He's in prison trying to make his manhood bigger, which makes you think he's trying to climb the ladder of bitches in the prison.
You would think so,
but then his wife leaves him.
Yeah,
because he does this to himself. So you're like, he's in prison. His wife's waiting for him. Why is this his number one concern while he's in prison?
Yeah, that's the most sad part of this story was that then his wife left him after this.
Wow.
That is sad.
Did she leave him because that he got parts of his unit cut out? Or is she just like, how stupid is my husband? Like, I must be married to the dumbest man. Not only is he in prison, but he's injecting Vaseline into himself. Like, this is the sign that I'm out. I'm out after this.
I think it was probably his damaged goods.
Yeah. So you think she was that shallow?
Well, I mean, if your husband's going to prison, there's part of you that's already like, I should leave, but I'm going to seem like a terrible wife if I don't stick this out. And then at that moment, she's like, okay, that's enough. That's two things. And now nobody is going to fault me for not sticking by my man.
Well, last straw.
Do you think it could have been like, do you think that there was pressure from her already where she was like, you know what? I don't think this is working between the jail. And then, you know, I gotta be honest, you know, it's not, I'm not so hung up on, you know, your unit, but it's kind of small. And he's like, no, I got something. I'm working on something. Yeah. Trust me. I have a plan. I've been talking to this guy. There's something that we can do. I'm like, okay, all right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's see. And then it doesn't work out. They're like, that's it. That's it.
Question is, has the doctor been stabbed with a sharpened spoon? Right.
I mean, in there. Yeah.
Surely he must be a target now.
Yeah.
Maybe he's had more successes with this.
Well, how many other prisoners has he suggested this to?
And how many has it worked for?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is just the first one.
Yeah. The man was quoted as saying that my wife left me because she could not see this horror and no one can help me. So it's really a very sad ending to this story.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I was pretty lighthearted about this whole thing and now I'm pretty upset.
Brought in the human element of the story and now we all feel bad.
Yeah. So
poor guy.
All right. So watch it. So if anybody's thinking about doing this, that, you know, get a second opinion. This is not a good idea.
Yeah, and don't get a second opinion from the same doctor.
Yeah,
wherever he's practicing.
I don't think so. Okay. All right. So, that's sort of a down note to go out on. Do you want to bring
it's
in
really
Jen?
Sad. If he can lift our spirits, then yes. Jen,
we need somebody to cheer us up now after that very very sad story because it did not end well. Jen,
how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you, Jen?
Good. So I was looking up this burger that I remember seeing on the Food Network. And I just wanted to read it to you. It's called the Garbage Burger.
Garbage Burger.
I clicked on the link in the comments just to look at it, Jen. Yeah. It's pretty disturbing.
It's got black Angus hamburger, liverwurst, corned beef, sautéed onions, sautéed mushrooms, jalapenos, black olives, banana peppers, pineapple rings, wasabi, guacamole, pepperonis, chili, sour cream, marinara, barbecue sauce, peanut butter, tomato, red onion, 5 types of cheese, bacon, remoulade sauce, ice cream, hot fudge, and a maraschino cherry on top with an Irish flag in it.
Gosh, that's a Frankenburger.
Yeah, how much do you have to hate life to order that burger?
I feel like it's kind of goes the same lines as if you add every color to each other, it eventually makes black. And if you add every food to each other, it eventually just tastes like whatever. Like you can't, like there's so many flavors in there that there's no flavor.
But it's just like grass or bark.
Yeah, exactly. It's just bark flavored burger.
Maybe they're providing you a way to end your life and still allow your family to collect insurance.
Yeah.
Kind of like the heart attack grill in Vegas.
Yeah. They've had 2 deaths.
Yeah. Do you see how much that burger costs, Tyson?
Let me look.
Don't look. I want you to guess.
Oh, I would say probably like $35.
$35. Danny, higher or lower than $35 for the garbage burger?
Does it have golden flakes?
No.
Okay. I'm going to guess $85.
Wait. Nope. I want to counter my...
You're looking at your computer.
I'm going to go with 1 cent because you can't go over the price, right? If Danny's saying $85.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, believe it or not, it's only $9.99.
Are you kidding me?
That's why they call it the garbage burger.
I think that they figure nobody's going to order it. It just exists on the menu to make people talk about the menu, probably. They figure like if anybody ever buys it, it'll be like they'll just like they'll lose money on it, but still people will talk about it.
Well, if you watch Man vs. Food, you quickly realize that all of these types of hamburgers and items are there for most of them are there for shock value.
Just to get this guy to go to their room.
Okay, so let's open up our News AF burger stand. What's on the News AF burger?
Definitely a 5-pound gummy bear.
Five pound gummy bear sliced.
Bacon, of course.
Is it gummy bear slice? Is the gummy bear slice?
That's going to be the meat of the burger, so it's like you slice into
circle. You need an actual, you can't cheap out on the burger, John.
So what you're going to have is you're going to have a gummy bear patty.
Yeah,
a
gummy patty.
Sandwich between 2 Angus hamburgers.
Oh, okay. 2 patties.
A layer of Vaseline.
It has to be real food. We can't kill people.
Okay, so then we get a E. coli laced burrito from Chipotle.
Yeah. A burrito on a burger.
Yep.
All right. No E. coli. We need people coming into our restaurant. We don't want to lose money.
Rob, a burrito.
Okay. So it's a Chipotle burrito on 2 burger patties with a gummy bear slice. Is that enough to get people coming in?
Nope.
We need more.
Tempura bacon laced potato chips mashed on top.
Are you worried about the cancer with the bacon?
Extra bacon. Reducing burger.
Yep. We throw this in the faces of those who said bacon.
Are you a risk taker? Eat our hamburger.
Yeah.
You like the base jump. Eat our hamburger.
You spell extreme with it.
Yeah.
X.
What about a payday bar right on top of it?
Throw it on.
Yeah, it'll work.
A slice of pizza on there on an 11-inch bun.
Now, what are our buns? Pizza? Our pizza's our bun?
Pretzel bun.
Ooh, a pretzel bun filled with nacho cheese.
Anything with pretzel bun in it, always sells better.
Then we get a syringe and we inject the whole thing with nacho cheese.
Yes, all right, now you're talking.
Hey, what do we call it? Sudden death.
Burger AF.
That's pretty good.
Are you writing it down? It looks like you're writing that down.
Yeah, I'm writing it. So we've got a gummy. It's a two quarter pound burger patties.
Yeah, and a 1/4-pound gummy bear patty.
A 1/4-pound gummy bear patty with a Chipotle burrito, tempura bacon, a payday bar, and on a pretzel bun injected with nacho cheese.
Awesome.
Well, I feel like we're not as gross as this burger because they have ice cream and stuff on theirs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And like, liver, something.
Yeah. Maybe like some popsicles, but with the sticks removed.
Yeah.
Let's kill 2 birds in 1 stone and add peanut butter flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
Peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah. I was also thinking on top of that, you could do like a snow cone. like shaved ice with tiger's blood flavoring.
Yeah. I say, you don't want to make it too wet. Let's just keep it how it is. It'll be way too soggy. I won't be able to hold my hands. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jen, thank you so much for jumping in. Okay.
No problem, guys.
All right. All right. We're working on let's talk hashtag. If anybody else wants to jump in, we'll take it. We'll take another call. What do you guys think for a hashtag?
Burger AF.
Burger AF.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And if anybody has any stories about anything else that they've injected into their body to do some amateur plastic surgery, we would also love to hear from people about that.
Yeah, but we don't condone it.
No, we want people to learn from others' mistakes so they don't attempt to do it. Okay. Good stuff today.
Great stuff.
Very fun. Looking forward to it. We will soon have our link so you can subscribe to News AF in the iTunes store. Also, this was some big news that Google is going to be supporting podcasting, Tyson. Are you excited about that?
Google Play?
Google Play is going to have podcasting soon.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Hell yeah, we're both excited because even though Danny is an iPhone person, he uses Google Play Music.
Do you? I hate iTunes, yeah.
Are you excited? Are you going to listen to podcasts on Google Play?
Yeah, only if our podcast is on there. That's the only podcast I'll listen to.
Yeah, it's the only one I listen to.
Well, because there hadn't been, for people who were using Android, there was not a native podcast playing application. But
they did a long time ago.
Yes.
Google had one, and then they...
Google Listen, I believe.
They got rid of it.
Yeah. So a podcasting player is coming to Android. People are using like Stitcher and other like third-party type things, but there was no one that was officially supported by Google. But there is now a Google podcast directory, which just came out. So big news in podcasting for people on Android.
That's huge news. Very excited about that.
Huge news. All right. Great job again this week. You could follow Tyson on Twitter. He is at Tyson Apostle. And Danny is at Danny Bryson. Of course, that we get so much help from our News AF intern, Lita. If you have any News AF stories that develop over the week, you can be sure to tweet them to us with our hashtag NewsAF. And you could also see our archives at newsaf.news. All right. Anything else, guys?
I think that's it.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. And thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does a great job editing together the News AF podcast. We'll be back next Monday, unless my wife has a baby, and then we'll figure something out. Until then, take care, everybody. Bye.